Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so I share strategies and ideas, protocols, frameworks. I talk about things that worked for me, but also those big epic fails I've made along the way. And all because I believe teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And so on this podcast, we'll talk about design thinking, empowering students with voice and choice. We'll talk about project-based learning. We'll talk about what all of that means in this unpredictable world of machine learning and AI. And so I am so excited to have you here listening to this podcast. And before we get started, I want to tell you about two different things. First of all, if you do not follow my blog, go to spencereducation.com. You can find all of the latest blog posts and articles, resources, and you can sign up for my weekly newsletter where I share, again, these podcast episodes, blog posts, but also any kind of free resources that I'm giving out. The other thing is, if you haven't checked it out yet, please check out boostpbl.com, where we have these design sprints, mini projects, and full-scale projects. Again, you can find that at boostpbl.com. And if you want to get a district license, there's a form to fill out there. So again, please check that out. It's my project I've done with AJ Giuliani. Without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. When ChatGPT first became publicly available, I had this conversation with my friend and collaborator, AJ, and we talked about how we might approach AI as professionals, as educators, and how schools might do the same thing. I talked about the need to have an integrated approach that avoids the opposing pitfalls of this lock it and block it approach and techno-futurism. So lock it and block it is, we're gonna keep AI completely out of schools, we're gonna do everything we can to stop it. Techno-futurism is this notion of let's use AI to redefine every aspect. And to me at the time, it was like, is there a third way, right? Is there this in-between? And yet, as we worked on these Boost PBL projects that I just told you about, we actually decided we're going to take a little bit of a lock it and block it approach. We are going to focus on the human elements. These projects are going to be lo-fi. They're going to use upcycled materials, and they're not going to be centered on AI. We even had thought about some ways that we could add some chatbots, you know, where students could gain some background knowledge. Maybe we would have a project management tool that was fueled by generative AI. And we ultimately landed on something that would be a little bit more AI resistant. But then now what I'm working on is a set of AI integrations. So I'm going back through all these projects and I'm providing some suggestions of where teachers might decide to use AI within project-based learning. So what are we really thinking about? It's the notion that teachers should have the autonomy and agency to decide when AI fits best within PBL, right? So we're not deciding for them. We're starting with something a little bit more neutral and even AI resistant, human centered, and then they can figure out where do I want to add AI to this? And we're going to give them some ideas. Because ultimately, teachers know their classroom the best, they know their students the best, and every school has different types of AI platforms that they use and different policies, and we need to respect that. And I share this as a beginning story because what we were really doing is we were leaning into the first two approaches with generative AI, which is number one, this AI-resistant approach, and then number two, this AI-assisted approach, or even number three, this AI integrated approach. So kind of leaning into those first three categories. So what I want you to do is I want you to imagine a continuum. And on one hand, we have completely AI resistant. That's number one. And then we move to the second level on the continuum where we start using some AI, and that's the AI assisted approach. Then we move into the AI integrated approach, and then we move into the AI-driven approach. So let's take a dive into what we mean by each of these four different approaches. Number one, the AI-resistant approach. At the far side of this continuum, the AI-resistant approach is where educators actively resist AI. This is where they're not going to use it at all. It might come from a place of skepticism where teachers feel like the power of AI has been overblown and overhyped. And I can't blame them, right? I've lived through that. Years ago in this book by Larry Cuban, he wrote about oversold and underused, about how the personal computer was going to fail and actually did fail to transform the learning process. So I think that's part of what's going on. The promise of instant information, it just didn't pan out. But for some people, it's less of a skepticism of AI, and it's more of a, I'm afraid of AI. This is something where teachers are worried about academic dishonesty. They're worried about cheating. Some of them are worried about cognitive atrophy and what happens if teachers and students become too reliant on these AI tools. And there's some great new research kind of backing up this concern. There was one about AI chatbots in math and how students became too reliant on this. And then when they were tested on math concepts and math skills, they actually failed. But others are still more concerned about larger global trends, about AI. They're worried about how it's going to impact our environment, energy usage, water usage. They're worried about the loss of jobs, and they feel like, why are we okay with AI if it's this big negative force in the world? And it's easy for tech enthusiasts to write off this first level as fear-mongering. But I want to point out their criticism is very rarely cynical. Many of these teachers want to incorporate hands-on learning activities that embrace the tactile. They've seen the danger of too much unsupervised screen time, and they're concerned about it, rightfully so. And so this AI-resistant approach, you know, what does it look like? It means doing non-tech or low-tech AI-resistant approaches to project-based learning. Where they're going to do front-loaded vocabulary, you're going to explain things to them, you take them out for a field trip, you do hands-on prototyping, you use these very tactile styles of project-based learning. And again, it's honestly a lot of how we designed our Boost PBL projects. So that's what it looks like in PBL. You might use technology still, but the goal is try to make it as non-tech as possible. For a class discussion, it might be something like a Socratic seminar. For student writing, it's the notion of having them handwrite things, having them perhaps still type things up on a Google Doc. You know, you're not avoiding technology altogether, but you still have them outline it by hand, or you have them sketch note it ahead of time. And it also means rewriting your writing prompts so that it becomes AI resistant. Things like adding context to it, adding student voice to it, adding something that relates to the physical environment of the classroom. So an example of a rewritten prompt is, instead of saying, what is the theme of Great Gatsby, which an AI chatbot can answer, boom, in a heartbeat, you give something like, what is the theme of the Great Gatsby and how does it play out in our school? Reference one thing someone shared in a Socratic seminar and then connect that to one of the lines in the book. Or who is the most unlikable character in the story? Create a conversation between you and that character and show how you slowly gain empathy toward that character through this conversation. Again, it's more creative, there's more divergent thinking, there's more student voice, and it's really the type of thing that's very hard for the AI to do alone. So that's the first approach. And you know, an AI-resistant approach at the elementary level is often something like a Montessori school, a Waldorf school. Those tend to be very low-tech and even anti-tech in some cases. So that would be this first zone of being AI-resistant. The second approach is the AI-assisted approach. In some cases, teachers might see some value in using machine learning, but only as a means for saving time and making tasks more feasible for themselves. In most cases, this AI-assisted approach keeps strict boundaries around using AI-generative tools in terms of at the student level or for direct teaching and learning, but it does allow you to use these tools for creating rubrics, designing sentence stems, coming up with lesson ideas, making handouts, certain things like that. So the idea here is you as a teacher have the permission to use AI. Students do not. You don't use AI to replace any of your direct teaching that you do, but you do take the vanilla of what AI generates in terms of sentence stems or scaffolds, supports, those types of things, and then you make it your own based on your knowledge of your students. And the metaphor I use is, you know, AI gives you vanilla. You're going to take that vanilla and change it so that you add that really cool salted caramel flavor that you love, and you add that, Heath bar chopped up inside of it, and now you have a totally new flavor that's your own based on what you love, what you know, based on your own context. You get the idea. So that's the AI-assisted approach. What does it look like? It might be that in a PBL unit, you use it to design scaffolds and supports. You use it to create informational text that students read as they do research during a rotating reading activity. You are doing it to make PBL more feasible, to maybe take down your bullet point list of what the project is going to be, and then flesh that out into a deep dive, one-page description of the project that really spells it out in concrete language for your students. In writing, this might be something where you use it to do some skill practice, sentence stems, leveled readers, those types of things. So you're making supports for students, but they're still learning things in a more AI-resistant way. In a choice-based activity, you might do an advanced choice menu where students click on the learning target, things like that, and you're doing it on the front-loaded side of that. So you're creating the handouts, you're creating the worksheets, those types of things for students. And then they're going to do this very tactile choice menu that's like a tic-tac-toe or something where they click on a standard they need to master, and then they get an option of something that they read or watch, and then it takes them to an assignment that they do, right? That would be, you're using AI to make this choice menu more feasible, but the students are still not touching the AI. And then we move into the third approach. So now we're starting to really get into, okay, let's think about how to use it at the student level. And this is the AI integrated approach. This third approach focuses on the question, what does it mean to use AI ethically and wisely? And then attempts to integrate AI into the curriculum in a way that is human driven, but AI informed. So this is a blended approach that's driven by the learning targets. That's what's driving it. And then you go, okay, based on the learning targets, we don't want cognitive atrophy. We don't want the AI to do the thinking for the students. But where can we integrate AI in a way that saves time on tasks or that makes certain processes faster? And so what that might be is something where you're using it to create jump cuts, video editing, creating images that they're going to put into a slideshow, and you're going to use it to have students build background knowledge with a Q&A tool during PBL. Maybe we use it in project-based learning for as a quick thought partner during ideation, or maybe to keep you on track for project management. So we use it as a tool. Maybe it's a reflection tool that helps you reflect on your learning. Maybe we're using it as a tool where it will quiz you on what you've been doing in terms of research to make sure that you actually understood the text that you were reading during the research part of the process. Or maybe during PBL, you're using it to get feedback on your designs, right? And so you're using it as this feedback tool. In writing, it might be that you use it to build background knowledge initially. You generate your own outline, and then you have it generate an outline as a student, and you compare and contrast the AI generated outline to your own. Maybe the student is going to use it in terms of getting feedback on their writing so they can fix various elements that just aren't working. And so the idea here is that in PBL, in writing and things like that, we are integrating it into it, but students are still generating their own ideas. They're still developing their own voice. They're still doing their own writing, but we're going to use it sometimes to help generate some ideas or to help clarify a misunderstanding or even to help summarize a concept. But ultimately, we are going to still have students do the thinking themselves. A great example would be, you know, students are doing a research project. We use an app like ConsenSys to create summaries of research. And then they're going to hop into these journal articles and actually do the research. That's the notion of using it in a way that facilitates the learning, that taps into student curiosity without doing the thinking for them. The final approach is what I would call the AI-driven approach. And this approach is the one that I think makes a lot of us a little bit more squeamish, myself included. But this is where you say, what does it look like to transform the learning process entirely? And so if you imagine the older SAMR model, this is the notion of saying, what does redefinition look like? What can we now do in the learning process that we've never been able to do before that only AI will allow us to do? And if this sounds too technocentric, I want you to remind her I want to remind you that we often do this in learning. We are always changing our approach to learning, but also what we learn based upon the latest available technology. So, you know, it used to be controversial way back in the, you know, 1800s when Ivy League universities began to de-emphasize oral exams and memorization and replace that for essays and multiple choice tests. In other words, the technology was reshaping not only how they were learning, but what they were learning. And so if we think about it this way, we might talk to industry professionals and say, how are we using AI to redefine what you do in your job? And then how do we prepare students for that reality? Or it might be that AI allows us to do really cool things in history and math and science that we've never been able to do before. So this AI-driven approach says, what does it look like to reimagine learning in a world of machine learning? What are the powerful capabilities of these tools, and how do we leverage these tools in an ethical way? So instead of just saying, let's use AI and fit it into the course content, we say, let's use AI to reimagine the course content. And so what does this look like? It could be simulations, deep dive simulations. It could be using it as this personalized learning tool where they're going to have this very individualized content using an adaptive learning program that's generating new content, answering questions, you know, allowing them to do a back and forth with the AI chatbot who functions almost like a tutor. It might adapt to each student based on their motivation level, their energy level, their speed, all these different factors to create something that's very individualized. And that would be, you know, a choice menu that is AI driven, right? And I would contrast that to the previous one where it's this AI integrated choice menu where you're using the AI to help design a choice menu for them, but they're still, for the most part, you know, doing a more traditional choice menu. So this is the concept of saying, like, let's use AI to completely transform the learning process. Now, I want to point this out. We are going to shift between these models multiple times. So we as teachers are going to shift from school to school. A Montessori school might say we are fully AI resistant, whereas this like high school entrepreneurial tech program might say we are going to go full scale AI driven. We might shift how we use it depending on the subjects we teach. So we might say no AI generated images in an art class, but yeah, go ahead and do that in a science class when you're creating a presentation. Just make sure you cite it properly. We might you know, shift between these different approaches depending on the learning tasks themselves. So in a writing class, in an English class, you might say, for this warm up today, we're going to be fully AI resistant, and you're going to do a sketch note, and then you're going to handwrite your answer, and then you're going to turn it into me. But then you might do something that is fully AI integrated and even AI driven, where students take something AI generated and then they significantly modify it with their own voice, and then they use AI to get feedback on what they've done, right? And so we are going to have to shift between these approaches. Now, a lot of people are going to be looking at this going like, what about consistency? But I would argue what we are preparing them for is a world that is going to be inconsistent. What we are preparing students for is this reality that they're going to have to shift in life between times where they are fully AI resistant, other times where they are going to be integrating AI, and then other times where they're going to reimagine entire tasks that they do given the power of AI. And so if we want to teach them how to use AI ethically and wisely, we are actually doing them a favor by teaching them how to navigate these multiple levels of AI integration in terms of when we use it. And so I know it might be a little disorienting to students to be like, at this moment, we're being AI resistant. And then at this time, we're being AI integrated. And what? But actually, that itself is a skill that we want them to learn. We want students to learn how to use AI ethically and intentionally. And by teaching them these models, these different approaches, we're actually preparing them for that future. The other thing I'll say is, if we think about this continuum, these four different levels, it's a great visual to use. In fact, I have a visual connected to this article. So if you go to SpencerEducation.com, you'll find it. And it's a great way to lead a discussion at a school-wide level about when and how do we use AI ethically. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or Amazon or wherever it is that you get this podcast? Also, tell a friend about it. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to spread the news and to let people know about this podcast. And then finally, if you have not yet subscribed, just click the little subscribe button and it'll show up in whatever podcast listening app, whatever that's called, podcast reader, I don't really know. Whatever that is, it'll show up there. Again, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Have a great day and go out and make something awesome.